It is time. Down the rise
of the blood, Letty Martinez.
Letty, hi.
My beautiful daughter.
Half Mexican and Salvi. The perfect girl from Cali.
She's an impressionable human being trying to do right.
See, fantasy is what people want, but reality is what they need.
Yeah, they love you because you're such a hip-hop head, and they love that. We love that. Everybody loves that.
I'm glad you really get it like that. She's a genius.
Give it up for Letty, please.
Welcome to Down the Ride. I'm Letty. This is episode 13, and I'm dedicating this episode straight off the bat to all of the kids that I went to visit this past weekend with a great group of amazing people. I want to tell the story, and I feel like let's just knock this out first before anything else, because I think we should all hear about it if we're not able to experience it ourselves. So a few months ago, I posted on Instagram about how I wish I could help the children that have been separated from their families that we see in pictures, in cages, and our heart breaks for them. But often we either feel helpless or the channels in which we think we can help may not feel adequate. Sometimes we donate money, and there's always that either people's excuse to not donate or the actuality of you don't know where your money is going, right? Then it doesn't feel like there's a part of you, and I think this is all of us, this is what's human about us. When we see someone else suffering, when we see someone else in pain, we want to help. It becomes an urge and a drive that's within you to help people. It's something natural in you. It's like an instinct. It is, again, why we are here as humans, I truly believe. So when things like that happen and the only thing you can do is like donate money, it feels almost like you're not doing anything really. Or I can post to and see my point with this, with that post initially, is never to argue. Yes, people have opposing views. It could be like Trump did this, or it could be like, well, Obama was doing this before. That is not my goal. My goal is not to argue or debate this. Arguing and debating is just causing you your personal stress for what? To fight with someone on social media? No. If you genuinely want to help these people, which I genuinely do, it's not to argue. It's not to figure out whose fault it is. It's not to blame. And that may be an easy way to like escape your own responsibility of probably doing something or having compassion, is to blame it on somebody or something. But no, that is not my intention. That wasn't my intention with the initial post. I posted to see like, dude, do you know how I can help? Can anyone like enlighten me on if I can just do something to make them, these children that my heart is breaking for, to help them feel at least a little better, because they're in a very scared, traumatic time in their life. And someone reached out to me. I live in California. Someone reached out, and I think one of the biggest takeaways is that we all think it's in a certain place in Texas that this is happening, that either children are being separated from the families or that they're being housed in facilities only there, right? But it's happening across the country, and it just so happens to also be something that is going on in California. And someone hit me up on DM and was like, look, Letty, I work at a facility that is accommodating these children in between their time here, going to court, going back home, or being reunited, whatever that may be. Like, this crossroads, we are here. And I want to give you the insight that I have and tell you we do our very best to make them comfortable. Our heart breaks for them too. I can't speak for everybody, but in our facilities, they aren't caged. And actually, I can talk to my supervisor and see if possibly you can come down and visit with them. And I feel, and maybe this is the message behind everything, God will call your bluff. I asked, what can I do? I really want to do something to help. And God was like, oh, you want to do something to help? Here, let me hit you with this girl. Let me hit you with the contact to a facility where these children are. What you gonna do about it? And so when God calls your bluff, and if you're really true about your intention, it's time to show up. I got in contact with the supervisor there, Sergio, and I was able to set up an event to have a day where these children, and I think the thing as well, like, there's this line from Scarface, and he says, I often wish that I could save everyone, but I'm a dreamer. Ironic, the dreamer part of everything. But it's in us to want to help other people, right? And saving someone is such a great, big, extreme notion that we often count ourselves out or think, yeah, I'm not capable of saving somebody. But maybe we're focusing too much on like the Superman cape save you from harm's way and happily ever after. It's not about saving them. It's about helping them through and encouraging them through whatever journey they may be on. That's my goal. And my plan, especially after talking to the organizers at the facility, is what can help comfort them right now. When they're away from their family, they're away from their home country, they're fleeing something, right? Terrifying. And the fear of what's ahead is, I would only feel as a Goliath type fear. You don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. What can help comfort or relieve or distract for that moment in their journey? And I think like the first thing is like, do they need blankets? Do they need socks? Do they need food? And the coordinator was like, look, not for nothing, but they do have their basic essentials. And they did a drive for them recently where they got more of like the clothes and shoes stuff. So then I'm thinking, all right, what other aspects of life are as important as the basic necessities? And too often we discount or discredit entertainment, enjoyment, comfort in that way. And so that's what I decided to set my sights on for this visit that I was about to have. And a few of the things that the children themselves requested were soccer balls, things that kind of give it not a normalcy, but a familiarity, right? A vibe of familiarity to this place. They also asked for MP3 players. And to me, it was just like, duh, what do you and I use when we need to be comforted, when we're going through something? Like, what is present in our journey of life? Music. So MP3 players, right? And then Spanish DVDs. Something, again, that can help them pass the time. That was my goal. So thank goodness for people with great hearts. And also, I couldn't say that these children were separated from their families. I couldn't, like... And so I think my issue here was, I'm not going to call these kids anything else that might feel wrong. Like when we're gathering donations, I'm not going to say at-risk youth. I'm not going to say anything like that, because immediately our brain starts to pop up an image of a certain individual when I say something like that, right? And the trouble there was, okay, we're popped up every day with GoFundMes or charities or donate here. And I know that they may all be valid charities and GoFundMes, but when we're struggling to survive or when we're getting by and we only have so much money that we can just share around, all these types of different causes can stretch ourselves way too thin. So my thing was like, how to hit the hearts of people that may be hesitant to donate, knowing I can't really put out publicly what this is for, who this is for, when this is. Like, the climate we're in will definitely not let this happen in peace if I were to say something like that, right? And then you've got to respect the anonymity of the people that are actually going through this, because once people start to find out where they're at, whether it be protesters against or for the cause, or people that are there to antagonize, this is going to happen. We're going to disturb their peace. That is not my goal. So I ran it around my private circles of people that I know this would hit as hard as it's hit me. And they definitely donated, and I felt really good about that. And the date in which I was supposed to go kind of got pushed back and forth because the facility itself was going through its own dealings with this situation specifically. Now, we got to the point where I was allowed to be a little bit more lenient with my terminology. And I think that really helped out a lot, because one, by saying what these children needed, you could kind of tell, like, oh, this is a very specific and unique niche type of requests. And then I was able to say children that have been separated from their families. You put two and two together. If you have the heart for it, it's going to reach out to you and you're going to be able to donate. One of the beautiful things that I was able to do as well, because I couldn't really set up a physical drive, was I did a registry online that you do for baby showers or weddings. And I did that, and I was like, hey, buy me these MP3 players and these soccer balls and these nail polishes for the girls. I did that, and it worked wonders. People showed up. People that aren't going to be there definitely donated. And we're, and I think the beautiful thing about that, I keep saying beautiful, sorry. I think the great thing about that is that they could make the purchase themselves and know that they're buying a ball, that they're buying an MP3 player. And I also did shout out to my friend Atika and Val. They let me use their, I don't even know how to call it. It's their salon. It's like a blow dry salon. Like you go there and you get blowouts. It's its own thing, LA man. And it's beautiful. It's called Studio Blow in North Hollywood. If you're in LA and want to check it out, Atika is an amazing person. They let me use their studio as a drop-off place should anyone want to come by and physically drop off a ball, or I got coloring books, movies, MP3 players, even cash. I was so scared for cash because I'm not doing this as part of a charity. I'm not doing this to gather money like that. I know what they're asking for. I don't want any sort of like taint on what I'm trying to do. Like, you just want my money, or you, no, like, don't give me money, give me a freaking ball, like, just so you can see that. But a very, very kind gentleman that worked at a barbershop nearby, like, came by and just donated cash, like, here, use it for whatever you may need for it. God bless that guy. So I also looked for volunteers, and this one was also tough because I think a lot of people want to say that they're involved in things like this, or want to post it. One of the rules is, and I'm glad it is, you can't post pictures or video. Again, this is very sensitive. These children are going through real life shit. You do not need to be posing with them. And if they're fleeing from someone, you're basically showing where they're at, even if it's like a slight chance. That chance is a no chance to take. And so I knew that the people that were going to help me were very humble individuals, and they had to be, because it's not for nothing else but to help. And it's sad, but a lot of people were like, I'll help, but also I want to post, or I'll help, but also I need to be able to do. No, it's taking time out of your day to just be of service. That's it. It's a tough concept for some people, but I was lucky enough that some great hearts really, really took the time to do this. Took the time of, it was a weekend. We had to get there. We had to separate everything that we got as donations, really go through the rules of everything, because yes, there are rules, as there should be, and put our own hearts and our own energies in the right place, you know, because it's easy to drown in that type of a situation, not just for them, but for us as well. So get our energies right, our intents correct, and have that day. I really want to shout out everybody that came, but especially Melissa and her efforts. If you know me, you probably know me from radio or from Genius. I'm a hip-hop journalist, and Melissa is someone that I admire in LA radio. She has a morning show on the Spanglish radio station Mega 96.3. She does mornings there, and I had recently met her and told her what I wanted to do. And again, the rules, like, you can't post about it, I can't really talk about it, all we can do is like quietly gather together. And she definitely did that. She, on her own accord, did her own registry, got her own donations. She had asked me what it is I needed, and one of the things that the girls there asked for is manicures. And see, this is the thing, like, it's the little things. You think of what a manicure does for you, right? It's the smallest thing, but it makes you feel good. You feel like, oh shoot, I'll fly for a second. They want to feel that too. So I was having trouble finding manicures that were able to volunteer, and she's like, okay, I got them. And she got the girls, and not just her time, not just her service, but her efforts are a godsend. I'm very thankful for her, and I'm very thankful for everybody that came with me that day. So you go there, it is definitely a slap in the face at how many children are still in this process, because what we're told is that everyone's getting reunited with their family, and that it was supposed to happen months ago. I believe July 20 something was the due date of when children were supposed to be reunited with their family. The fact that no, it isn't true, and also it's kind of doubled in numbers, where when I first started speaking to this facility specifically, it was a number closer to 15, and then when we went, it was not 15 kids. So you see the gravity. And then it's like, what movie was that? I don't know if you've ever seen Heavyweights, but in Heavyweights, there, it's a summer camp, and there's the boy camp, and then there's the girl camp, and they meet up to have a dance. And so one's on one side, the guys are on one side of the hall, and the girls are on the other side, and it's like, who's gonna make the first move? It was like that at first, because you don't know how to really start something like this.
This is not a common event, but thank you to my friend DJ Leslie who came to DJ. Again, music is such a great icebreaker and a bonding agent when you need it. Real quick, deflection, another one. But I used to work at a senior living facility, and one of the biggest things to do for our residents there was play music from their past, music they liked, and their brain activity skyrocketed. I worked in the area of the facility that was for Alzheimer's and dementia patients. A lot of times their family stops visiting them because they don't get remembered, and they kind of, and it's a sad reality that they kind of write them off as passed away before they even pass away, just because their mental state is so far gone. But the magic of music is you can play it and you see the activity, you see eyes light up, you see someone that's normally quiet start chatting or try to, or moving their hands, and happiness, and it, whatever you're doing for them, even if they're not able to articulate it very well, inside something's happening. And I think that's just so important. Music is so important. Going back, DJ Leslie, she started playing music and then I got on the mic. My Spanish, mampocha, which means I'm good at Spanish. Sometimes it's the weirdest thing because I know the word, but it just escapes me at that moment. It happens a lot in Spanish and it's annoying. Right when someone corrects you on the word, you're like, duh, I know that. Why didn't I just say it? It just happens. It's annoying. But Caro, who also is a radio personality, I think she works at a radio station called Radio Centro. I hope I'm getting that right. She's on middays, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. slot. Great girl. Amazing girl. Amazing heart. Her and Melissa were like helping me out immensely talking Spanish, but also, okay, once we were able to do that introduction, like, hey kids, we're just here to spend time with you. We're just here to spend the day. We brought toys, we brought movies, we brought MP3 players, whatever you want, go to the table. It's yours. And let's have fun. Let's eat. Let's talk. Let's just have a great afternoon together. So once the ice was broken, I was pleasantly surprised at the reception. And I think the thing to understand is, like with anyone, you don't want to be pitied. You don't want to feel, oh my God, someone's here to tell me how fucked up my life is, or they're so sorry this is happening to me, or poor me. You know, your life is your life, right? You yourself can't live in a woe is me type mentality. The last thing you need is other people impressing that on you, especially when it's like really your time to fight through something. So it's like, look, we're here to have fun with you. What do you guys like to play? What do you guys like to listen to? Let's do it. And the conversations aren't about, tell me about your parents. No, it's not about that. It's like, oh, you like this? I like this too. You know how to play this? Like, let me put you up on this. Like, similar to just meeting someone and befriending someone. And I think that they truly saw an authenticity in us and were embracing us as well. And to the people that work there, Sergio, who is the main dude there, like, I have to say again, thank you for all your help. I didn't really catch too many other people's names, but there were definitely employees of the facility there. Very accommodating, and you can tell that their heart's in it. And I think that's a big thing for me to take away, is to understand that these children are in hands of people that want to see them prosper and that want to see them get through this very troubling time in their life. They're not here to make their life worse. They're not some sergeants. They're definitely here as guides and support systems. That's important to me. And I think the most fearful part of just the images we've seen thus far is like militaristic, and for children to go through that is not something you want. I think a couple surprising things we see and that I can share is that the children there are coming from all over. The biggest misconception is, oh, it's just Mexicans that are coming in through Mexico, and why can't Mexico just leave us alone? A lot of these kids are from Central American countries or South American countries, India, Asia, and the channel in which they come is through Mexico. But I think, again, that plays to a bigger misconception of it's just Mexicans trying to come into the country, giving people more ammo to hate on anyone that is either of Mexican descent or of Hispanic descent and just is categorized as Mexican. It's not just that. And I think that's important when we look at the bigger picture of things and to really understand that there's trouble sometimes all over it. And a lot of people, saving grace is our homeland. One, that makes me appreciative of our homeland. Two, that makes me more understanding of where they may be coming from. That, dude, if I didn't have to come here, I wouldn't come here. You gotta think the troubles you have to be facing to flee India and travel so far. The trek here must be insane to make it to America. It's not just to be here and steal jobs and take resources. Like, it really must be something you're fleeing from. Something else that was like quirky and cool was like how much they love soda. It's funny because I had we had put tables where we put everything. We put like stuffed animals, we put coloring books, we put DVDs, we put beads and bracelet making stuff and dolls and action figures all on like spread out throughout tables. And then on another table, we had set up the stuff that we're going to give for lunch, right? We were putting together our little catering table. And when I told the kids, go to the tables, anything you want is yours, just have a blast. A couple of them went to the food table to grab the sodas, like a 2 liter of Coke, just walking around like, she said I could have whatever I wanted. And it's literally like currency, it's gold to them, like certain children in that facility. And one of the caretakers were telling us, yeah, dude, to them, they haven't had this in so long, or they've never had this. To them, it's really like, wow, an experience. And I just thought that was really cool because, again, it puts in perspective, one, how much Coke we drink here, and two, the fact that it's really a luxury. I'm not really sure I can say too much else, but I do just want to urge you, should you ever find yourself in a position where you can help, if God is calling your bluff, show up, because it does as much for you as it does for what you're now having to show up and service. That day did as much for our spirits as it could have for these children's spirits. And I pray that their journey is guided and protected by God. And I pray that their spirits stay lifted throughout this hard time, as I pray that for anyone going through any hardship in life, regardless of color, creed, religion, any of that. I plan on doing something like this again in December. And again, like, I can't really say too much. And I didn't even say anything about it on my podcast previously. As people keep telling me I need to promote more things on my podcast, I just want this to be conversations. But again, duh, like, I have to think you are involved in things, like you may feel the want or need to help and support. So come December, I want to do this again. And while I don't know how or to make a charity, or even I don't even want to get mixed up in the why are you really doing this type stuff, but I'm gonna call it visita, because if you're Hispanic, you know when someone comes over for visita, it's a fun time. And I think that's what we're doing. We're going over, and basically it's a visit in Spanish, but it's kind of like play date or coming over like a sleepover, the way it's used. So-and-so's coming for visita, and you're like, oh man, that's cool. I want that feeling of being visita to somebody. That's my intent with this. And so that's what I'm going to be doing again come December. So I'll give you more of the info. Should you want to donate, if you're in the LA area and you would, and should you feel the inclination and the drive to actually be there and volunteer your time, I would like to hear from you. I have a great group of volunteers right now, but I do want to hear from people that feel like this is something that's in their heart to give service. Even if you're like a caterer, or if you're a manicurist yourself, or if you feel like you can provide something, especially around Christmas time come December, make sure to email me. You can email me now, even though it's a little bit away. Stayrooted, StayRootd @gmail.com. I took a lot of time talking about this, and I know, see, this is crazy, but the times call for it. This podcast was started to talk me for me to talk more about hip hop, and I'm talking about a lot of life events, especially as it pertains to being Hispanic, Latino American, Mexican, Salvadorian, whatever it may be, but the time calls for it. And I truly believe you gotta rise to the occasion. When God calls your bluff, it's time to do what is inside you for that cause. And I really feel like that's me right now. While I love hip hop, and that is definitely my intention to still talk about that, I know that right now what I am being used for as a tool is this. So that's what this episode is dedicated to, the volunteers and the children we got to visit with this past weekend, and you, dedicated to you, because I know that you're only human, and if you're human in the world, you have empathy and you have compassion, even if it's deep down inside of you and you're cold hearted on the outside. I know it's in there, and that's what I'm speaking to, that part of you. This is what it's dedicated to. But I do plan on, and actually this is probably, this is exciting. This is hip hop related. For the next few episodes, scattered within my talk of what's going down in life personally, I'm going to be breaking down what I think are the best albums of this year and why they're the best albums of this year. And every title of every episode is going to be blank album is the best album of 2018. Something along those lines. And it's just going to be the argument, should you feel that this is the album of the year, why it is, and give you my own fan perspective and knowledge-based perspective, music perspective, that piece of art. Okay? All right. Talk to you next time about hip hop.